Good day and welcome. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom on WFYL 1180 on the AM dial. And we are reaching Philadelphia, the greater Philadelphia area, and beyond online, digital, and certainly through TalkStream Live and our good friends at Red State Talk Radio. So glad you can be with us. There's so much I want to get to, and let me just get started. Okay, Trump claims Clinton bias and blasts Stephanopoulos on his question about taxes, and he essentially says it's none of your business. Well, it isn't any of Steffi's business. Those of you that are unaware of his background, he wasn't just a journalist. I don't even know if he had journalistic credentials or background prior to his serving in the Clinton administration. That's right, Bill Clinton's administration. He was the communications director, and I think he served maybe 4 to 6 years. He was there for quite a while. And he may have served in some journalistic capacity. I don't know. But whatever the case is, whether he was a journalist, he became a journalist, he returned to journalism, his ties to the Clintons are very, very strong. There is just no way that you can get around the bias. Now, let me just share with you just a few journalistic notes here. And you're even taught this as you go through either journalism school or broadcasting school, that you can strive to achieve objectivity. It's almost an impossibility because we all have a subjective point of view. We all have our frame of reference. Everything that we see and hear, we run through filters. And so there is no absolute objective journalist or report. It just cannot happen. It's impossible. So you can work towards that, but and quite frankly, you can work towards being fair and so-called balanced. In most instances, in an all-due reality, it's not going to happen. But when you are very close to someone, and I know this from interviewing people, that it's really difficult to be hard on your friends, you know, unless they get you mad. Also, it's very difficult for you to come at a guest if you're on the same team, if you will. So even though you may want to ask a few tough questions, or you may want to ask questions that you think the audience would want to hear, there is no host that's going to be all that fair and all that difficult as it relates to whether it's someone that's considered a friend or foe, so or at least political adversaries, or you're on different teams, if you will. We have that story, and then here's a very interesting story. Justice Thomas spoke to graduates over the weekend, and he said, "Graduates, don't hide your faith." That's right, in the world gone mad with political correctness. And that was reported by Law News, which is kind of a division of Mediaite. And then, if you really think about this, it really dovetails so splendidly well with Donald Trump, who is rarely, if ever, politically correct, and certainly doesn't attempt to be politically correct, and has thrown, you know, pretty much, you know, caution to the wind, and he's turned up all the reporters' tables, the whole political arena, if you will. Everything has been capsized because Donald Trump says, I don't play by those rules. Those rules don't apply to me. Now, we're not talking about the rules of the Constitution. You know, I mean, he's going to learn very quickly if he doesn't understand, at least theoretically, that there are, you know, certain constitutional limitations on power, because there's not going to be absolute power. Even Nixon learned that to a great degree as well. You know, don't hide your faith in a world gone mad with political correctness. He's saying you should be bold, and you should be able to discuss, and you should be able to promote your ideals. You should be able to speak up and speak out about your faith, your views, in the face of political correctness. Now, again, I see myself as a tactful person, a respectful person, but the point is that I'm going to discuss things that I find to be rational, factual, and truthful. And I always strive, as a seeker of the truth, to bring that. But there's a way sometimes. Sometimes you can be tactful, and sometimes you can actually package a message that you'll be more effective in the way it's delivered. Doesn't mean that the essential message has been compromised or has been altered or modified. It says Clinton, meaning Hillary, hellish Hillary, that's what I call her, and I don't care what anyone thinks. Ralph Nader, the consumer advocate, considered progressive left, But also another person I have mentioned that was against these trade deals from the beginning, was very consistent about that. And Ralph Nader, as you know, has run as a presidential candidate as a Democrat. And there were a couple of times that Al Gore and others have blamed him because he sometimes siphoned off 1, 2, 3, 4% of the vote. And that's right. But I figure when he stopped running, I guess, I mean, he's getting up there in age too, but I think he stopped running for political office, meaning the presidency, or trying to achieve the Democrat nomination, or at least have an effect on the race, probably last, I guess, a decade ago or so. What Ralph Nader states, and you can read the article for yourself, and these are headlines that I've helped select. Yeah, that's right, select. You know, I didn't write them, but I had them posted, uploaded at talkstreamlive.com. But the source on that article came from Mediaite. And Ralph Nader says, Clinton to win by dictatorship. Now, that's pretty strong terms. I mean, that's a pretty strong dose of medicine for those of you that are considering that, you know, who to vote for and who that, you know, you'd like to see as your Democrat nominee. But I think Bernie Sanders has gotten really close. And if there weren't superdelegates, and maybe if he'd had a little more momentum and a little more support from the get-go rather than just the college students and just people on the extreme radical progressive side, I still think she's in trouble, not only with the FBI, but we're going to get to that too. Because Comey, the FBI director, states, sorry, Hillary. He confirms that Clinton email investigation, it's not a security review. It's a criminal investigation that has to do with national security issues, reporting and ramifications. There's another article that states here that legal experts side with Donald Trump. It would be crazy to release his tax returns during an audit. Now, I doubt that he's lying about the fact he's under audit. Many of these major corporations are under continual audit because that's where they're getting so much money. At least that's those that are paying taxes that have not, you know, moved offshore and have utilized just about every which loophole. Oh, here's another one. If we want to talk about the going back to Ralph Nader and what he had to say about the Clinton will win or is likely to win by dictatorship because it's, you know, he really believes that the fix was in and with the superdelegates and among other issues and avenues that have helped derail Bernie Sanders, put him in an unfair advantage that essentially the deck was stacked. Here's Bernie Sanders on the campaign trail, and he calls Hillary Clinton's nomination courting disaster. Now, he's not even referencing her legal difficulties. Now, many of those that follow this, that study this, they seem to believe that the FBI director is a pretty straight shooter, and he's going to try to get to the bottom of this, and he actually is going to not allow this to be politicized. And if it is criminal wrongdoing, there's going to be charges brought. But then again, I don't know as much as these people. I mean, I'm not that close to any of these agencies, so I don't know. But anytime I see him interviewed, my sense is he seems like a decent guy. More to come. Hold tight. Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom on WFYL. We appreciate your listenership. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, WFYL Radio, serving the greater Philadelphia area and beyond. Thanks so much for joining us. Let me go back to more headlines, and let me just share with you that when I go to headlines, so I may refer to the headline, I may refer to the gist of the matter, I may refer to the generalities, or more specifics. It really depends. But I have an issue with one article that I was hoping to read from, and it's an article entitled, and it actually came from Bill Kristol, and we'll get to him in a second. And he states, I want a third-party candidate who people like me will feel comfortable voting for. This is widely reported. The sourcing on this I have is through Mediaite. Bill Kristol. And the reason that I can't read beyond that is that when I go to that landing page for that particular article, there is audio. And there was multiple different places that that audio could be emanating from, and I couldn't figure out how to disable it. So that would be recorded too. So that would be kind of an interference. So now over TalkStream Live, where we post a lot of these news headlines, their page refreshes about every 5 minutes. So sometimes I'll have to scroll up or down. It's not like Drudge where it refreshes about every 30 seconds, and so you're right in midstream, and you think you found the headline because it's kind of buried there. It's not categorized in any way, which is fine. You know, isn't that kind of cool that the Drudge never decided to upgrade his website? I mean, it's one of the most successful websites of all times because he was a trailblazer and the leader in online internet, you know, web-based news reporting, or at least news. What do you call culling the news? You know, it's kind of an aggregator of news, but he decides what goes in there. He and his staff. But you notice all these really slick, you know, with Breitbart or there's various others, and they look, you know, brand spanking new, and they have all these features and bells and whistles, and Drudge just says, okay, I'm just dropping in headlines. Some of it's political, some of it's about the culture, some of it's weather, some of it's you know, unique reporting and a few conspiracy articles thrown in, and you know, it's a mishmash. But it's still there's no other news reporting website. Now, Newsmax comes close, but actually really not that close to Drudge. Now Drudge came from his background a little bit in the gossip arts. He and Breitbart toyed around and tinkered around in the Hollywood area, and they really enjoyed following celebrity gossip kinds of stuff. If you look at Breitbart's background, I remember I did a program on this that people weren't so happy with, but I gave the entire background on Breitbart, and no, he wasn't murdered. You know, this guy just lived a very haphazard and more or less reckless life in terms of, you know, the carousing, the overeating, the drinking, you know, the stress, you know, all of those things. But I it's back in the archives, I think. I don't know if I still have that, but I decided to go and say, let's dig a little deeper. And he you could see that the way he ran his site, now it's different, but it was more of a gossipy type site, and it didn't always factually substantiate the stories. But then again, that's my view, you know, and I didn't see Breitbart as a hero. He did some good things, but he was, you know, he came from that culture. Matter of fact, he worked with the Huffington Post. He worked with, you know, it wasn't necessarily just conservative right wing, if you will. So, you know, you better do your research to find out someone's true background. That's, I mean, you know, these same people spent plenty of time digging up the background of Donald Trump, who was really a non-politician. You know, he was political in the sense that he was involved with lobbying. Yeah, he lobbied the politicians to hopefully, you know, and he felt like he could gain their favor. That's the way the system worked. You know, rather than hiring K Street, you know, firm to do this, you know, he just lobbied himself, sent donations, and hoped that he hoped that he would have their favor and their approval on certain things, and maybe certain tax cuts or advantages or, you know, whatever it is. But he just played the game. Now, and so he knows the game better than any, so he knows how he could change the game. Back to this particular, you know, and again, I guess I have all these factoids. I have all this information, all these programs I've done over the years, and so I tap into that reservoir, that bank of information, and some of you may say, hey, he's not on point. Hey, what was in that article? Well, we're going to get to that. So just chill, okay? Just relax, okay? And some might say, well, you know, your style can be a little bit rough and gruff. Well, I think I'm a polished and articulate person. However, sometimes this is a rough and tough industry, and we're dealing with some pretty rough and tough characters. Now, there are some Mr. Softies in the political and media realm too, but so sometimes you have to hit it hard. That's the way I do it. You know, we don't soft pedal the information. And people say, maybe you shouldn't use the C word. Now I'm talking about conspiracy. I will use the word. I don't fear criticism, and I don't fear critiques, and it's okay. Now, Bill Kristol, referring to this article, he says, I want a third-party candidate who people like me will feel comfortable voting for. Well, let's look at Bill Kristol's background, and not just the Weekly Standard. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, William F. Buckley was too. So when you think, oh, I remember one prominent host that's nationally syndicated, after I did send him a lot of information, but prior to that, he would say, well, the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, that's a liberal group. It's not liberal at all. It's not conservative at all. It is, you know, they want to control all patterns of thought and all political philosophies and ideologies, if not minimum influence, if not control. And so they do recruit, and Monica Crowley's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. That doesn't mean that every person that joins is joining because they want to promote globalism, internationalism, transnationalism, you know, one worldism. They have to be at least open to the idea. They have to be influenceable, because why else would they? And you have to be invited. That's right. So somebody within the club invited William F. Buckley, Monica Crowley, which I believe was, you know, Richard Nixon, because she helped him with his books, and he was CFR too. So, and some I think just say, well, hey, that's part of the club. It's you know, this is the way to move up the corporate or the political ladder. You know, your sphere of influence increases, and you're part of the intelligentsia. Yeah, well, that's just wonderful. So, Bill Kristol, if you look back at the Sarah Palin pick for vice president, guess who floated that boat and that initiated that concept and influenced, and some might say, well, that was a favorable pick. But to me, it was a tragic pick because she just was so ill-prepared. Yeah, I mean, she energized the campaign for the first couple of weeks, but she had so much baggage and so much downside that it really hurt McCain, although McCain wasn't helping himself at all, and how could he? And who would get excited about John McCain? But yeah, he was the American maverick. Yeah, he was a real maverick. Yeah, on his bus maybe, but touring the routes of America. But other than that, and having CNN and all his buddies on from the news and, you know, from the press there. But John McCain, to me, was no maverick. And yes, he was a POW, and there have been some stories come out that were somewhat perhaps tarnishing of his image. And I would say the most important thing in that regard was not really how he conducted himself or what occurred as a POW, because I think that was legit. What it was that when it came to looking for the POWs and the MIAs, he and John Kerry together put the kibosh on sending in, you know, more teams to, you know, more investigative teams, and they were very quick to normalize relations with Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos, and had very little interest because there were sightings, there were reports that they were still potentially POWs alive, still being held against their will, and certainly finding more of the missing in action at their remains. So John McCain and John Kerry were less than helpful. Matter of fact, they helped in trying to just say, okay, it's time to bury this, move on, and the past is the past. Now, you would think if someone was a POW, if someone actually experienced the horrors of war, and there was a possibility that even one of your brethren were left behind, that you would push for a complete and total accounting before you would say, okay, we're going to normalize trade relations. Yeah, that's right. So I'd love to see the bank accounts and the secret bank accounts of John McCain and John Kerry and what really transpired for their rush to normalize relations in the early 90s with these countries that we were at war with, which was, and again, totally ridiculous. We should have never been over there. We should have never intervened in that matter. And we lost a lot of lives, just like we did in Iraq. Why do we keep repeating ourselves with these things? So Bill Kristol decides, because he's part of the intelligentsia, part of that elite that we talked about. And so he influenced McCain. As soon as I saw him talking about Sarah Palin, I started doing research at that time. I said, that's going to be the VP pick, because this is how much influence this guy at the time wielded. And sure enough, all of a sudden Sarah Palin is picked as the VP. And, you know, so what all the reasons were and the rationale, was it to, destroy John McCain and the Republican Party at that time? Or was it that it could be that he felt his influence with that candidacy and that potential presidency? I don't know. But that all came from Bill Kristol. Now, some might say, well, that was great. Well, she's a reality star now, so that's wonderful. Okay, and someone that was a quitter. She quit on her position in government. And I think she's botched just about everything. It was kind of cool for Donald Trump in the early stages to have her come out she's a publicity hound. She loves the limelight. There's no question about that. Some of these silly shows that she's participated in, some of these programs that on reality TV, it's insane. She should be with all the problems in her family. She should be taking care of things on the home front. Philly Freedom, Tom Donahue reports. Right back. Hold tight.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
So anyway, enough on Bill Kristol and his membership in the Council on Foreign Relations and his sphere of influence, if not to some degree control. But he's going to lose control in this ridiculous, a nonsensical bid for a third-party candidate. Now, the hypocrisy that comes in for him and others that are associated with this, Romney included, is that when they talk to the voters, and many, many Republicans and also Democrats, when they say, oh, you're going to vote for Nader on the left, or you're going to vote for a Reform Party candidate. Let's just say Tea Party had their own candidate. Whatever the party, Libertarians, of course, and they're on the ballot generally on all 50 states. I think there were one or two times it was 49 states. But so ballot access is very difficult. So they're going to be confronted with those same hurdles that are almost insurmountable, especially trying to put together this very late ballot access campaign to be on as many states, if not all the 50 states. And it's now absolutely impossible, even for these big donors and the PACs and those that could pay enough people to get out there with their little clipboards. Because Texas, they've already missed a deadline, and so you cannot win without Texas. It'd be almost impossible, especially for the GOP, because Texas is generally almost always their state. So it would be a pivotal, state. What I've heard from the pundits and from those that are pushing this independent, be comfortable with their purist candidate or in the bag candidate, and that's really what it is. It's more about the their sphere of influence as it relates to policy and to free trade. Which is, globalist trade that favors their companies and their clients. But let's just boil this down, that their only desired result is to stop Trump. Again, because if they could only make it on the ballot in X amount of states, they have no mathematical, there's no electoral map strategy in terms of success, then so the only desired outcome, inevitable outcome, is Hillary wins, the Democrat nominee wins, their party bearer, standard bearer wins, because the Republicans, the GOP, would be disabled, I have no problem with third parties, multiple parties, but when it's this late in the game, because their candidate did not win, but the American people won. The American people decided, not the party apparatchik. And so you have the establishment losing, the people winning, and they don't want the people to win. That's really what you have here. So all this is about derailing the will of the people, subverting the will of the people, and literally destroying their own party within because they don't have the candidate of choice. It's ridiculous. It's totally, absolutely insane. Now, if let's say this was early on, and they chose to splinter off and create a new party. And remember, this party would only be created for this one time only. You know, totally ridiculous. But they always admonished. They always critiqued anyone that would vote outside of the two-party system. So now it's okay to have a third party. Okay, so now they favor a third party. Now that is just the nth degree of hypocrisy. I mean, this is over the top. Off the charts, hypocrisy, don't you think? So now it's okay. So now it's justifiable. Now it is recommended that there be a third party, a separate party from the two established parties. So again, talk about credibility, talking about trustworthiness. They are untrustworthy. They are unreliable. They are inconsistent. They're dishonest. They really are. They are dishonest brokers in this whole process because they are now committing to something that they said was ridiculous, that was impractical, that even if it was a matter of conscience, that you really are mucking up the process, that you have no right, that you should not even be able to vote for anything beyond the two parties because it's almost inevitable. And this is with Ross Perot. Remember, even Ross Perot was winning? Yeah, he was winning early on in the polls over Bush and over Clinton. And even at that time, the argument was that we are a two-party so-called democracy and that you really have to commit to one or the other. And you have to vote of conscience and you want to vote libertarian or something along those lines. For fun, I guess you get away with it. For entertainment, if you're really a serious voter and you really want to vote for someone that potentially can win, the argument always was that you had to go Democrat or Republican, and that's the way they saw it, and that's the way they professed, and that's the way that they lobbied, and that's the way that through the pundit class, you know, these so-called experts and commentators and all the op-ed pieces, was that you'd be ridiculed. You'd be scorned. That's right. You'd be a scorned voter if you left either of the parties. And they just said your vote, that vote won't even count. It's a meaningless vote. But now they're saying, oh, well, we didn't get our way. So we're going to create our own party. We're going to create, our own candidate that will, even at minimum, could be a spoiler. That's what this is. This spoiler alert, this is a spoiler. If, in fact, they can even pull this off. Just so you know, I'm not here to read verbatim. I'm not here to spoon feed you. I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm not here to inculcate. I'm not here to control. I'm simply sharing headlines, sharing news, sharing experiences so that you can shape your own worldview, that you can be the decider and the discerner. And that's the way we roll around here. But the next article that I want to touch on is the GOP chair, Priebus. Now, Priebus says that Trump agrees with the GOP platform on a vast majority of things. So here is the GOP chair, Priebus, saying that he and Trump are pretty much in alignment, in agreement on the vast majority of the Republican principles, the planks in the party. So, and you're seeing that relationship has certainly accelerated in a positive direction. It has certainly, now that doesn't mean that that's going to change the minds, the hearts of those that are in such vehement and such fervent displeasure and in opposition to Trump. Now, his support is really growing. If you start looking at these polls, and I know that it's a bit early on, but the bottom line is that he and Hillary Clinton are almost tied, And I saw a poll not too long ago that said that it's about 72% of the GOP are willing to positively or affirmatively support Trump. And I think Hillary Clinton is at about 87% of Democrats. So in terms of GOP Republican registered voters, that Trump is already closing in on three-quarters of the GOP that are ready to support him and do it with some degree of enthusiasm and acceptance at minimum. So that's a good thing. Many have thought that might be half the party or more than half the party and all these ridiculous numbers that were floated around, that, well, you can't get above 35 or 40%. Well, when you have 17, 18 people competing, and then you're down to a dozen, and then a half a dozen, and still, you know, three, it's pretty difficult to gain a majority. I mean, there's different points of view. There's different flavors of tea and coffee and various other salads and the way things are cooked and prepared. So you'd have to expect that there'd be nobody, and I mean nobody, that would have, you know, such a sheer majority, you know, at best a plurality. But as the later contest occurred, and as Trump gained momentum, and he was down to two competitors that were active competitors, and you still had the inactive, I mean, you could still vote for those others, and people felt like, you know, that was a protest vote. And then Trump started going not just 33, 35, 38, 40, 42, 45. He got to the point where 50 was a low point. So he was exceeding 60%. And now, even with the protest votes, which you can if you're in those other states, those other primaries, you could vote against Trump. And Trump's gaining 70, 75, 80%. So he's really on track to win over a clear and convincing majority of the GOP and the Republican Party. Will the establishment, you know, wholeheartedly accept this? Will they not only support and endorse? No. But that's okay, because he's winning with the people, and that's what really counts. It doesn't matter what the party higher-ups. You know, who cares if you see the Bushes in the audience or at the convention? Does that really matter? How many people really care if the established order of the party are there? I mean, there might be some sentimental favorites, but other than that, most people, they're looking at, you know, the president, the vice presidential nominee, you know, people that are up-and-coming stars, people that are the keynote speakers. These are the things that people are going to be looking at. The entertainment, of course, just like the Super Bowl. But and believe me, this is probably going to be very similar to like a mini Super Bowl, with the way Donald Trump is going to run that convention. And you know that he knows how to organize. He knows that he's got the star power of Vegas, Atlantic City, and certain corridors of Hollywood. So you know this is going to be a grand production. All these are the grand old party. It's going to be a grand old party, literally, figuratively. Now, Donald Trump, many of you probably are aware, he does not drink. You know, he is, he's never had a drink, from what's been told. And he owns a winery. I don't know how you own a winery if you don't. I don't know. But does he sip and then spit? I don't know. I don't know how that works. But you would think that, you know, maybe it doesn't count if you're just taking a little sip just to see what the taste is. You know, like when you just kind of swirl it around just to know. I don't know. I mean, you would still have. Even small amounts could have an effect on you. So he made that decision, and had a lot to do with the fact that he had a brother that was an alcoholic and died early and tragically. So, these things can affect you. I understand. Okay, we're going to take a time out here. We'll come right back for the final segment. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom. Hold tight.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom and Tom Donahue Reports on WFYL here in the greater Philadelphia area. So glad you can be with us. Let's jump right into the subjects at hand. Obama, he just gave the commencement speech over the weekend at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Rutgers is one of the oldest schools, the eighth oldest school in the country. It's a colonial college and has a very storied history. It became the state university years later, 1945, but it was a private school up till then, land grant as well. And what was so special about this is it's the 250th anniversary. You heard right, 250 years that this college became a major public research institution and one of the better schools. So Rutgers extended an offer 2-3 years ago, and Obama accepted to be the commencement speaker for the class of 2016, and that speech was delivered. Barack Obama decided to politicize, of course, not inspire, not motivate the students, but simply to use this as a political platform, which he has been a very divisive president, and this is exactly what you would expect from Obama as the president. Now, again, I'm a proud alum from Rutgers University, and believe me, I'm not faulting the school, because anytime you can have a sitting president, the president of the United States, be the commencement speaker, just imagine the PR mileage you get out of that. And, of course, all students are going to be of a liberal progressive bent. They don't know any better. And so this must have been a fantastic day for the university, for the student body. And they'll always look back on this. So this will be part of the historical record. Also historic was not only the President of the United States speaking at Rutgers University, the commencement speaker, but you also had in the neighboring state, the Keystone State, my home state, you had two major political figures attending the University of Pennsylvania right in West Philadelphia, or near close, I guess between Center City and West Philadelphia, but Philadelphia, nonetheless. And University of Pennsylvania is one of the older and more prominent and certainly Ivy League schools. Well, guess who was in attendance there if you weren't following the news? Vice President Joe Biden, who had, I believe, his granddaughter graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. And then one of Donald Trump's daughters graduating from the University of Pennsylvania. So you had the vice president, you had the presumptive and obviously the expected nominee for the Republican Party in attendance. Could you only imagine the security nightmares? I mean, it was all over the news. So both of those events generated a tremendous news cycle, were the leading stories, and I have a tie to both. So it was kind of interesting that my alma mater and my hometown, the cradle of liberty right here in Philadelphia, the Keystone State, had Joe Biden and Donald Trump in attendance, and then we had the President of the United States, the imposter in chief, which I have called for many years, as the commencement speaker at Rutgers in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Now let's get into a little bit more about the speech. President Obama took aim Sunday at the presumptive Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump while delivering the commencement address at Rutgers University, telling graduates to tout their knowledge and not brag about their ignorance. Though he didn't name Trump, Obama's target was apparent. Yeah, of course it was crystal clear. In politics and in life, ignorance is not a virtue, he told more than 12,000 graduates in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He said, it's not cool to not know what you're talking about. That's not keeping it real or telling it like it is. Well, that sounds like a real smart guy, doesn't it? That's really intelligent vernacular. He says, that's not challenging political correctness. That's just not knowing what you're talking about. And yet, we've become confused about this. Obama's comments at Rutgers echo similar shots he's taken against Trump, also without naming him. During recent appearances, the president also told the graduates to stand up to those who say America was better in the past and dismiss the idea of building walls. There we go again. I guess it's part of human nature, especially in times of change and uncertainty, to want to look backwards and long for some imaginary past when everything worked. Economy hummed and all politicians were wise and every child was well-mannered and America pretty much did whatever it wanted around the world. Obama said, guess what? It ain't so. The good old days weren't all that good. He also challenged the notion that Muslims should be banned from the United States, something Trump proposed in December. Isolating or disparaging Muslims suggests that they should be treated differently when it comes to entering this country, and it's not just a betrayal of our values. And that is not just a betrayal of our values. That's not just a betrayal of who we are. It would alienate the very communities at home and abroad who are our most important partners in the fight against extremism, the president said. Obama is the first sitting president to speak at Rutgers University, which has lobbied for the last 3 years to get him to speak at their commencement. Last week, Obama spoke at Howard University, and on and on and on. So he's speaking at several schools, but nevertheless, he was in our part of the country. He was at my alma mater, and it was, for many, a joyous day. For some, it was kind of a dismal day. But nevertheless, that's the news. That's the information. You know, that's Obama's politicizing. And that's Obama trying to be cool and hip at Rutgers University. Now, those that spent 4 years at a good school, dedicating themselves to becoming more educated, to becoming more articulate, more intelligent, and more prepared to take on the world and be successful, to speak like that, that's a great example. He's a role model? I think not. Well, I'm Tom Donahue. I speak only for myself, putting America first and New World Order dead last. Have a great night till we meet again.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.